Benito to the stack.
Okay, we have Benito to the stack. Benito.
Okay, so 2 points. Number one, I just want to clarify, and I sent an email to everybody a little before the meeting. But I just want to clarify that PFW's fund drive was scheduled to have ended this past Saturday. It was extended because we had not made, you know, met the goal. And supposedly it'll end this weekend, or we'll find out. We'll see. That's point one. Point two, more important. I think it would be helpful, Margie, if be it Otis or whoever, would send some information to the LSBs as well as to management at the various stations as to what the requirements for CPB compliance are. You know, because I don't think that people really understand or appreciate the seriousness of this issue, number one, and they don't, much less do they understand what they need to be in compliance or what the consequences are. You know, for instance, LSB chairs and committee chairs don't understand that they need to give 7 days notice of a meeting. They don't understand that they need to post you know, the announcement on the website. They don't understand that they need to put the notice in the form of a PSA and announce it so many times. You know, and much less do they get cooperation from management to the extent that they try to give notice to a PSA.
Time.
So, okay. So it's just clarification.
Next person.
Okay.
Next person from stack.
Hold on. Let me just ask a question.
Rodrigo to the stack, please.
If you want me to respond to these things, I'm happy to do so. I would prefer that we take questions from several people and then I'll respond in order. Is that okay?
Okay.
So I understand Benito's question and I'll respond to it.
Who is next on the stack for a question?
Well, Kim asked to be on the stack.
And who else was on the stack?
Lawrence on the stack.
Rodrigo,
and then Lawrence. Okay, Kim.
Well, I'm going to agree with Benito. You know, I went to a finance committee meeting today. There was not even notice to the LSB. I happened to see it in some other venue, and that's how I knew about it.
I'm sorry.
I'm not kind of sure how to instill this kind of compliance on our people. I would also say that although KPFK met this goal, I'm not sure who set, somebody set this goal. The goal was inadequate for our needs, so it's problematic that this was a success, because I just don't see how we're going to get where we need to go with that number. So that's what I have to say.
Okay, Margie, you want to respond to that?
Okay, so on Benito's question, I will say that I have asked Otis on several occasions to draft something that I could send to people that made sense, because he talks sort of a technical language, but I understand that he needs to get this done, and he does a very good job of harassing the stations. He's finally been able to get all of the stations to do what needs to be done, which is to put a box on the front page of their webpage that leads to our calendar, to the PNB calendar. And the reason this is important is that it makes it possible for the CPB to see that at all times you can, at any moment, go directly from a station's webpage to the PNB calendar and see the meetings that are available and whether they're open session or closed session and all that kind of stuff. which is what needs to happen. That's now been affected at all stations. I hear what Benito is saying. The part that hasn't been affected is that people don't know. There are maybe people who are calling committee meetings, and I think pretty much anything called a committee within our organization has to abide by the open meeting notice requirements, which is 7 days. Who don't know that they have to post committee meetings 7 days in advance. Otis has fixed our calendar so that you can't post a meeting that's less than 7 days out. It won't accept the meeting. So that solves that problem. But we do need to make sure, I agree, that everyone knows, anyone who might call a meeting knows that they have an obligation to make sure that the meeting is announced with 7 days' notice. And so I agree with that. I think that's a good idea, and I will work on something that to send to LSB chairs and to the and ask the chairs to share it with people who call committee meetings, ask them to share it with the entire LSBs. And I think everyone who is in charge of PMB committees knows that and knows how to do that. On the fund drive question, let's see, that was the next question. Benito, you were just reporting what happened on your
plan. Yeah, I was just okay. A little
clarification. So, Kim, the goals for the fund drives are in the budget. They are established in the budget. That's where that goal came from.
Margie, there are no budgets yet.
Kim, correct.
I'm sorry.
It was in the budget for last year. Even though the fund drive lapsed, you know, fell over two fiscal years, it was in the budget.
No, it wasn't, because last year's budget.
Okay, Kim, don't interrupt me.
$1,000 higher.
We're not going to have a back and forth. Okay, Margie?
All I know is that the goals for the fund drives are supposed to be in the budgets, and I called each of the GMs and I said, how are you doing? And I reported what they said. What I was told by the IGM at KPFK was that when they closed the fund drive, they were a little bit under their goal, but in the next couple of days, they more than made up for it in online donations and other kinds of donations. I don't know what he meant by that. Okay, that's what I know. Okay. I don't want to spend the night arguing with him.
Okay, we're not going to go back.
I would request that we go on to another person.
Okay, point of clarification. This is Raul.
Yes, Raul.
Just to clarify, the $750,000 goal was part of that proposed budget that the LSP has not, or the PNB, or the NMB has not approved yet. But that's the one that they had proposed at this time. Absent of the approved budget, that's the next, you know, goal that they are shooting for. And they came close, $748,000 versus $750,000. Thank you.
Okay. Next person we have on stack is Rodrigo.
Okay. I have three main questions. One is that how is the representation, because that's part of the CPB requirements, in terms of demographics and KPFA, and also I sent a requirement to the whole PMB and especially to the interim executive director in regards of the owners of the service, the answering service company. I never got any response. According to some information that was sent, these answering services that are being used by KPFK and KPFA belong to a person that are linked or tied with races who has prosecuted my community. So I need an answer about that. And why? But not even one answer from nobody, but nobody about it, you know, when I ask it. Right. Third one is, how is the interim executive director now taking care of informing my community that speaks Spanish, you know, of the upcoming elections? How many hours are going to be dedicated in Spanish to the people in Texas, Washington, New York, San Francisco, and Los Angeles? We know how much, because we are taking But I need to know those things, please. Thank you.
Okay.
Hargit?
Do you want me to respond? Okay. First of all, the answering service in question is not going to be used by, I don't think it's going to be used by any stations going forward. There is an answering service in Washington, D.C. that they're very happy with that actually costs less and they think does a very good job. Anyway, from the station's point of view, I think both, well, I don't know about KPFK, but certainly at KPFA, the answering service was perceived as being expensive and inadequate. And so the decision was made to go back to phone room volunteers for the next, the short December drive with using some kind of a service as a backup for calls that don't get answered. Because there are not enough volunteers in the phone room. And the GM at KPFA and the IGM at KPFK are looking into getting rid of the current phone service and finding a new one. I don't know the answer to the question about how much time is going to be devoted to Spanish language programming around the election results. Was that your question, Rodrigo? Did I get it right? Okay. Well, that's what
exactly. That was my question. And
okay.
My previous question was not whether you're going to be using the service. Is that how truthful it
is? Oh, I'm sorry. How we got it was that it was contracted or arranged for by Richard Perodsky when he was IGM both at KPFA and KPFK. That's how we got it. And I don't think anyone looked into who owned it or what, it was like that. Okay. So, the question of Spanish language is that, I don't know what they're going to do in Texas, although they are going to do something, and Alan Minsky reported to me that there would be a period of time during the election coverage in L.A. that would be Spanish language programming.
Okay.
I wanted to know about KPFA, Texas, Washington, New York.
I don't know that it's happening anyplace else. I can find out. You want me to find out? I'll find out.
Yes, and please take care, too, because right now you are the head of this institution. So we are supposed to provide information to our constituency, to the people that are in the demographic areas that the every radio is.
Okay.
And it's not like what they're going to do. It's that what you're going to do or what we as PNB are going to do. We cannot blame others. We have to take action.
Okay, thank you.
Benito to the stack.
Time's up, Mr. Chair.
Is that me, Chair? Oh, this is Orange.
We've reached our 15-minute limit on the Harrison.
Okay. We've reached the time limit. Is there a motion to extend or else we're
Benito not? Extend for 5 minutes.
Hell no.
They move to extend 5 minutes. Is there any objection? No objection. We extend 5 minutes. Okay, Lawrence, you're next on the stack. So 5 minutes from now.
Oh, thank you. Okay, I was on mute. So, two questions for the IED. The first question is how KPFA not picking up election coverage going to address the issues of the demographics, which are very similar to the demographics of Los Angeles in terms of language, and why wasn't KPFA part of that as well in terms of picking up Democracy Now's feed to the whole network? And the second question is...
Okay.
We brought up the concern that this answering service was receiving 99 cents per minute per every time that they answered or processed a pledge. And that was made available to us from a member of the KPFK Community Advisory Board doing listener comment. And then we brought it up when Rodrigo brought up the concern that there was nobody with bilingual capabilities that was also answering the phone. And then we find out that this is a neocon operation, right-wing operation, and so, I mean, where, I know we're going to draw the line, and I know you're going to draw the line, Marty, but, I mean, why weren't our concerns addressed 4 months ago when Pulaski and the previous management decided to introduce, you know, this answering service into, and to also eliminate our phone rooms?
Okay. let's see. Wait a minute. I lost track. The reason that there's no in my report, it doesn't say the public the program director from KPFA is that KPFA doesn't have a program director until next Monday. There is the program director has been hired, but she doesn't start work until Monday. So she was not directly involved in those discussions, but she has been, and KPFA is going to carry the election coverage. I'm sorry that I didn't. I made that unclear. I apologize for that. and the question about the phone room. What can I say? That for the most part, we've been sort of trying to figure out how to make this work going forward, and I think there is a certain amount of discretion that the stations have, and that they have to, they have a right to exercise. And I wasn't in a position to challenge the stations around the phone room thing until very recently. So, that's just the way life happened.
Janet Kay.
And Benny Pulaski.
Hank's been waiting.
I had Hank, and then I'm going to go to Benito. You spoke before, so I'm going to go to Hank and then Janet Kay. And we're going to try to get to everybody who hasn't spoken first, and then we'll get to the second round. Hank.
Okay. I would ask that, Margie, that you send the CPB requirements or have Otis, and not ask Otis, but tell Otis to send them.
I'll take care of it.
Because you're the boss.
Okay.
And that we include in that email all committees, all LSPs, the two main blogs, and whatever we have a membership, so that everybody is in a position to put pressure on the situation that we meet at all stations CPB requirements. I'm not a big proponent of CPB, but if we're going to spend thousands of hours a year talking about it, maybe we ought to get something for those hours, like CPB funds. The other thing is, L.A. is a clear Spanish majority. Why isn't most of the election reporting done in Spanish and some afforded in English or other languages? It's the same in some other markets, too. And volunteer services are much cheaper than phone services. And phone rooms are cheap when they're sitting empty as compared to what a phone service is on these drives. Whoever made those decisions really needs their judgment questioned.
Margie, did you want to respond to that?
No, I don't want to talk about it's not my job, I don't think, and the stations have to work out these things. I'm not in a position to talk about how much time gets spent on various kinds of programming. I urge the LSBs to take up that question, to make proposals to management and so on.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Okay. We're somewhat racist if we don't address it in a some level.
Okay, we'll have a conversation.
I continue the mistakes.
Okay, I think we need to have a conversation about it, but not now.
Okay, Brian, you said our time is up.
Our 5-minute extension ended a minute ago.
Mine is real quick.
Janet Kay, real quick.
Wait, it's
yes.
out of order unless there's a motion to extend.
Oh, unless there's, I'm sorry, our time is up. Is there a motion to extend?
Hank,
I make a motion to
extend. I object.
Is there a motion to extend? What are you objecting to? What?
Hank with KPFA.
Any motion to extend.
I'm making a motion to extend for 3 minutes, sir. If I'm recognized, this is Lawrence.
Lawrence, what was that?
I moved to extend for 2 minutes.
Two minutes.
I object.
It's been moved to extend for 2 minutes. Okay.
I moved prior to that to extend 5 minutes.
I didn't hear you, Hank, but we got a motion.
I announced my name, KPFT, and 5 minutes.
I'm sorry, I recognize Lawrence, but we'll get to, if this motion fails, we'll get to that one. There's been a motion
to 3 minutes, not two.
Lawrence has moved to extend for 3 minutes. Is there any objection? Without objection, we'll move for 3 minutes. I'm sure the timekeeper is keeping up. Janet Kay.
Yes, so I wanted to know whether ComNet is unionized and also recommend that any other service be unionized.
Sure. No, I'm sure they're not, and I'll bet there are none. But anyway, I'm happy to look into it and give you a report. I'll contact the union.
Anyone else for the stack? We haven't spoken. No one else? Then we'll go to Benito.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that with regards to PFW and the answering service, that answering service was instituted by management. And it was a unilateral decision on management. No one has been consulted about it. People are upset that we are doing that. And, in fact, we have long-time volunteers who have recently tried to volunteer and were told that they could not volunteer. We don't want volunteers.
Hmm.
So. Serene for the staff. Sorry.
Case closed.
Okay. Serene, you're next on stack.
Okay. Just, I don't think we have time to discuss this today, but it is a matter of concern. In New York, we were forced to close, if you will, the phone room because we don't have the space to accommodate the volunteers. But I don't understand why at the other stations volunteers are not being used. One, they create a better connection to the listener callers. Two, they allow people who cannot afford to pay the $25 to still, to quote, earn their membership, if you will. So I think the whole thing needs to be reexamined. I just don't think, you know, 20 questions to the IED is going to resolve any of that.
Thank you.
Adriana for the stack.
Adriana, yes.
Thank you. about the CTV requirements, we can add, we have from Mr. Kriegler very clear directives that we received less than a month ago from him, and I'm sure, Margie, that you gave that to the general managers because they know. I mean, we are reinventing the wheels. We are talking about general managers that don't know. You know, general managers, that's why they are supposed to be to receive a salary to manage their stations. And they have directives if they don't say those things to their own, you know, stations. I don't know what we are paying for, that first. And second of all, about the call centers, I think that obviously, we need to take that issue, like Margie. I think that that's what you were trying to say before, that you will take that task and we will discuss it and put things in the right way. Okay?
We're at time, Mr. Chair.
Okay?
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Time is up. We'll now move on to the next item on the agenda, Mr. CFO report. We have 15 minutes on this item, and I'm sure the timekeeper is going to be keeping up. Raul, your report.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, well, I'll start with the update on the audit. The auditors began their field work at the national office last October 13th. They sent a full team of staff auditors. Because of the increasing risk levels that they evaluated, their audit program requires them to do a more substantive audit than the previous year. But the auditor team and the national office staff anticipated that the fieldwork will run for approximately 3 weeks. The volume of testing was increased, hence it required our staff both at the national office and the local station business managers to provide more documentation. Unfortunately, because of the timing of this audit coinciding with most of our station's fund drives, the response was coming very slow. In addition, there were still missing schedules from certain stations and from the national office. Since more documentation was required on top of the initial request, the auditors were processing documents submitted faster than we could provide them, resulting in idle times for the auditors. Because of this, the auditors are pulling out of the national office today to give us a time to complete the required documentation and the additional schedules. We will review the remaining outstanding required documents, and we will reschedule the field work on the week of the November 10th. We estimate that it would need additional 2 to 3 days of full-time work with audit documentation to complete the outstanding items. Based on the recent conversation with the audit manager at Armandino, they underquoted their fees this year from $53,000. And the way it is progressing, the amount may be around $70,000 by the time the audit is completed. An additional $10,000 to $15,000 may be incurred for tax preparation and assistance in the preparation of the annual financial reports, or what you call the AFRs for the CPB. In comparison, last year's audit was, and tax preparation fees totaled about $136,000. So this is a reduction of last year's fees because of the too many field work or the premature schedule at the beginning of 2013 when the schedules and accounting records were not ready at that time and they were not prepared completely. An additional schedule of field was later added on sometime in May 2013 after the CFO was hired. So that's the status of that, and we are hoping that we will be able to complete the audit by the end of November, or early December. The preparation of the interim financial statements, we are still striving to update current year financial ledgers. The process is slow because of the other audit priorities. The Great Plains system will be installed on both PFW and BAI on the week of November 10th, and the staff will be trained on these systems. This will facilitate the manual closing and submission of pertinent accounting information so that the national office will be able to produce financial statement on a monthly basis moving forward. On the budget, the NFC has so far passed and approved the budget for recommendation to the PNB for stations KPFT, KPFA, the National Office, and the Archives, with various provisos to be recommended. The budget process is still ongoing with the local stations and their respective LSBs. It is obvious that the budget process is behind schedule. However, the NFC has performed initial review of all units. Margie had talked about the status of the CPB. We are still working on achieving 100% compliance. However, one of the components of that is obviously the submission of the audited financial statement so that we can do our AFRs in a website for CPB. With respect to the pension plans, the 403B pension plan tax returns, Form 5500, was filed on time on October 15, 2014, despite a change in our third-party administrator for that plan. With this change, both our retirement plans, the profit sharing plan, and the 403B plan, are now in the hands of one single third-party administrator. And then the catch-up payments for the funding for the profit sharing plan for fiscal years 2012 and 2013 were being scheduled to be paid or to be funded in October 2014, this month, and February 2015, respectively. However, due to some legal issues relating to the funding of 2012 accruals to employees who are no longer employees of the foundation at this time, our third-party administrator is researching and determining the actual funding amounts to fund. They advise us that it's taking longer as more research is being done. With respect to the cash and finances, the national office is managing its funds better now that the new fiscal year has started because of the new central service initiative whereby the station are billed a fixed monthly amount of monthly services, central services. The national office was able to plan the payments for its current financial obligations. However, there are two stations that are still behind under the health care billbacks for the current month, in addition to their previous month's balances. WPFW owes 3 months of health care billbacks, amounting to about $27,000, while WBAI owes 4 months, amounting to about $34,000. In addition, WBAI has not been able to pay central services for about 5 months now. WBAI experienced some issues with our credit card processing company, GlobalPay. During its last fund drive, WBAI experienced a financial adversity when GlobalPay withheld the incoming funds and donations and remitted nothing to WBAI's bank account for the first 10 days of the fund drive. This action by the GlobalPay was a result of increased occurrences of chargeback at WBAI. Apparently, as a rule, if this chargeback exceeds a threshold of 1% of the funds processed, GlobalPay has the option to withhold funds. After speaking to GlobalPay and explaining the nature of our fund drives and our needs for those funds, we were able to convince them to release a portion of those funds. We are still currently working with GlobalPay to resolve this matter. And as part of the review, they requested us copies of our audited financial statements and preliminary audited 2013 that we have provided. To date, they have released about $74,000. Based on the fund drive numbers, we estimate that there is an additional $150,000 to $200,000 that are still being held at GlobalPay. It is unfortunate, but we need to address the bigger issue relating to this. That is that there is an increased cases of chargeback that we need to look into further. And that is my report for tonight.
Janet K.
Janet K.
Hank is back.
Who's that?
Hank.
Hank? Okay, Janet K.
Okay, three things. One, would you please email this report to the PNB and all other reports in the future? Would you email and separate out the open session report from the closed session report? And also from October 2nd, you combine both of them into one. Could you just separate those two out and resend them separately? That's one. Then another is would you send the PNB a copy of the fiscal year 2013 tax return that was filed in August? And then finally, can you tell us what Pacifica's total debt is?
As of the end of 2013?
As of now.
I have to look into that. I don't have the exact numbers right now or even a guesstimate of that at this time. I will send it in an email.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
This is Janice. Just a quick request. Raul, I believe I've asked that you send us financial statements up through the end of the fiscal year over the last 3 to 5 weeks. I haven't been able to find them in my email. If they've been sent, they maybe have gone to spam, and so I'm respectfully requesting again that you send the PNB the most recent financial statements at whatever stage or state that they currently exist.
Well, I want to respond to those and what and the issues that Dan and Kay brought up earlier.
Okay, Janet. Yes, I can certainly send the report in two separate open and closed sessions. Second, with Janice, I would send you what we have so far. And again, it's still being audited. There's not a final number yet. The audit report, I mean, the audit adjustments have not been reflected in our books. So we can send what we have at this time.
Thank you. With all due respect, Raul, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, I wasn't. I'd like to make a really quick follow-up to that.
Okay, Janice, I would too.
I'll be very quick, Raul. You've provided the same response consistently. I appreciate that. There are those of us, I believe, who respectfully request that we receive them in the condition in which they are, with the full understanding and for the minutes to reflect that they are not audited. However, unaudited statements would be greatly appreciated given that we've not had any statements for over 14 months. Thank you.
And Janet Kay, can you respond to the tax return?
We have Raul respond to Janet's response.
Oh.
Have it respond to you, Janet. Yeah,
Janet's I thought the tax returns for the Pacific Foundation was sent out already to the board as well as to the and it's posted in the Pacifica website. If that is not done, then I'll be happy to send it to you again.
I didn't receive it. If there's another board member on this call who has received it, that would help to know.
Margie, I think, sent it out.
Wait a minute. We're talking about two different things. The tax return was sent to the board.
I received that. I'm not asking about the tax return.
Okay. I just want to be, and it is posted on the webpage. So that, just so we're clear.
What were you asking, Janet?
For the financial statements, which are completely different than the 990.
So the whole board's gotten unaudited fiscal 2013 financial statements and year-to-date through the third quarter of 2014.
Right.
Did you not get those, Janice?
No, I did not.
Those were distributed to the board in August.
I wouldn't continue to ask for it, Brian, much to the chagrin of everyone else, if I had received it. I'm sorry, I don't have it. I've searched my emails. I didn't receive it.
I could resend them to you.
Thank you.
Janice.
That's all I'm asking. I'm not trying to be a
pest. Yeah, we've sent them out.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, next person on stack is Hank.
Lawrence,
to the stack, please. And then
yes.
Janet, Kay, and then Lawrence. Hank.
Raul, can you just make sure you send that to the entire PNB with whatever months have been completed since that request? Okay, now my questions, why aren't we installing budgets on the stations that have still, after this late date, failed to get their budgets handled? Because that is the normal process according to the way we're set up. Two, WPFW and WBAI are behind on their health care payments. I've been told that Pacifica has paid $20,000 or $22,000 towards those costs for one of those stations. And where is the station with paying KPFT back? Because we're as strapped as anyone, apparently. How do we justify profit sharing in a nonprofit? You know, we're a nonprofit. Let's have a 403B. Let's not do all this other bull crap.
Okay.
We're at time, Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry?
Hank from KPFT, I move that we extend 5 minutes.
I second.
Okay, how much did you want to extend for? Who was that again?
5 minutes.
5 minutes?
Is there any objection to extending the 5 minutes? Without objection, we extend the 5 minutes. Why are you responding to Hank?
Okay, I think your first question is about the budget. Yeah, it is unfortunate that we're still working on the budget, but again, there's a process that we have to abide by, and that's what it is. Second,
we have a process, and it is that if they don't submit the budgets and get them in and get them approved in time, we put a budget in for them.
Okay, I don't know that provision, and I'm hoping that the NFC chair would be able to respond to that. I really don't know that aspect of it. As you all know, I didn't really finish last year with the budget process.
Right.
But
don't interrupt.
And if that is the situation, I think we've given the chances to the local station board and the local finance boards to review them. But in the meantime, what the NFC has done was to preliminary review of these budgets prior to the approval of those, so that we don't lose time on the approval process. However, despite that, I think that the initial budget presented in three of the stations were kind of incohesive, that we need major changes and major justification. So that's where we cannot really do the job for the station, and that's going to be a financial suicide if we do the budget for them. I understand the predicament, but we are doing our best as the NFC as well as the local management to have a more cohesive budget, and so that's where we are right now. On the profit sharing, we also discussed that the profit sharing plan was originally a voluntary contribution plan. However, because of our union contracts that specifically require the foundation to deposit funds into these retirement plans, that's what we're abiding by. Despite the fact that the foundation is experiencing major financial difficulty. And what was the third question, Hank, remind me?
Hank, was there a
third question?
Hank?
I'm trying to answer. We at KPFT apparently either 20 or 22,000
right.
for somebody else's health care?
Yes.
And when are we with being repaid?
Last month, at the beginning of the month of October, the foundation was in a situation where we were going to lose the medical coverage for non-payment, and unfortunately, PFW and BAI was not able to fund those healthcare bill backs. So KPFT was kind enough to advance $22,000 against paying that, so that the entire foundation will not lose its medical coverage. That $22,000 was an advance of the central services from the 2014, which utilized. And I think KPFT MSA has been very, very loyal, consistent with their contribution and remitting the new central services and the healthcare bill back. So we're on target now. We're paying November premiums tomorrow, so that we don't be in the risk of losing our medical coverage.
This is Lydia with a point of order.
This is Kim. I'd like to be on the stack.
Lydia, what's
your point? Are you asked to be in the staff,
Mr. Chair, we are at time, and we have reached our scheduled adjournment time for executive session as well.
Okay, could I find out where we are with paying KPMG back on that?
That was my point of order.
Yes, okay, you're saying we're out of time. Is there
That was my point of order, Mr. Chair, which I called before and was recognized before he called time.
Okay, we are out of time. It is 10:30. We're out of time for this meeting.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Lydia.
Yes, I called for a point of order prior to his calling time in order to extend time.
Okay, how much time would you like to extend?
Half an hour in order to consider the election motion and the ED search process from personnel.
You're saying extend
second the motion.
For 30 minutes, extending time for 30 minutes. Is there any objection?
You ready for bedtime?
Sorry, is there any objection to extending for 30 minutes? Without objection, so approved. We'll go on for 30 minutes. That'll put us at 11 o'clock. Okay. Next person I had on the stack, I had Janet Kay, Lawrence, Kim, then Adriana. Janet Kay.
Wait a minute.
No, I went around.
Sorry?
No, point of order, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Brian, what's your point
As I understood Lydia's motion, it was to extend the meeting by half an hour, not to extend the CFO report by half an hour.
Exactly. That's correct.
Okay.
I specified it was for the elections and for the ED search.
Okay, so our time is up on the CFO, so we'll move on to the election committee report. Who's doing that report? We have 20 minutes on this item, or up to 30 minutes, I guess. Well, 20 minutes, as I see it, that we have listed on the agenda.
Janet Kay, okay. I can do it.
Okay, Janet Kay, you want to give us a report on the, or do the motion, or motivate the motion?
Well, the motion was from the election committee, the election committee recommends to the PNB that the process of electing delegates begin with a national election supervisor hire on or around December 1st, 2014, this year, and with local election supervisors to be hired no more than 4 weeks before the opening of nominations, with the actual date to be subject to the NES's discretion. All other intervals in the timeline would follow as per bylaws requirements. And then this was all sent to the PNB, the timeline, proposed timeline, where the NES hire would start on December, or be on December 1st, proposed. And then the election, that would mean the election certification would be...
Point of order.
July 2015.
Serene, what's your point of order?
Okay, so the motion's been read. We should second it and move on to the discussion. I don't think she seems to be folding everything into one.
No, she was reading the motion, I think, for the...
Right, it was all together.
Right, I'm sorry, point of order, Chair.
Yes, Serene, what's your point of order?
I'm looking at the motion, which I sent out in the agenda, and... She's paraphrasing portions of the motion. She's actually completed the reading and is now paraphrasing what's in the timeline.
I could do that. I could read the whole thing, but it would take a long time.
I think
she was trying to paraphrase the motion, and it was the timeline attached to it. I think she was trying to paraphrase the timeline. So if we'll let her wrap that up, and then we'll do the motion and then get a second. So... Janet Kay, you want to finish giving up the timeline and paraphrasing?
Well, that's what I was attempting to do.
I'm sorry, Chair.
Yes, Serene.
In the interest of actually getting an opportunity to discuss and vote on the motion, I don't think we need to paraphrase a seven and a half month timeline that everyone has received.
Well, I think we're on the public stream, and I think the public would like to at least hear that paraphrasing of the timeline. So if we can just let her do that, we'll get to the debate on the motion. So, Janet Kay, could you finish your paraphrasing the timeline on the proposed election schedule?
Yes,
Okay. I'll just pick out a few items. So the NES, again, NES are higher December 1st of this year. And then the elections would go into, the process would go into 2015. This is for the delayed election that was originally going to be in 2013, and this year, I mean, it was the 2013 election. All right, so the candidate nominations would open the early March of 2015, close early April 2015, and then ballots would be mailed, and there's a ballot return deadline, and then there's also the ballot, the election certifications, which would be mid July 2015. The date that people would have to become members of their station would be somewhere between March 19th and April 3rd. So I'll stop there.
Okay. So the motion, could you, that you're stating that the this is an election for the delayed election?
Yes.
But that's not really stated in the motion. I just wanted to make sure that's in the motion.
Okay.
Okay.
Point of information, Richard.
Yes, Richard, what's your point of information?
And Serene for the
second. Are we proposing doing this in lieu of next year's election or instead of?
No.
Or what? We're going to have, are you also going to have next year's election too? Running simultaneous?
Okay, you want to respond to that?
Yeah, well, there is a proposal to possibly combine the two, but in any case, yeah, right. So there would normally have been an election or be an election in 2015 for the regular terms for the 2015 LSD election. But this is just for this delayed election. That's what this proposal is for.
Okay, first of all, we got a second to that motion?
Point of order, please.
I second the motion.
Okay, we got a motion, a second. Serene, what's your point of order?
It's a committee motion. We don't need a second, and I was the first person on the stack, please.
Okay, we got Serene. Who else is on the stack?
Kim.
Adriana.
We got Serene, Kim, Adriana. Serene.
Gosh. So I would like to amend the motion to strike everything that follows the word requirements, so that the motion would read simply, the Elections Committee recommends to the PNB that the process of electing delegates begin with a national election supervisor hire on or around December 1st, 2014, and with local election supervisors to be hired no more than 4 weeks before the opening of nominations, with the actual date to be subject to the NES's discretion. All other intervals in the timeline would follow as per bylaws requirements, period, the end.
Is there a second to that amendment?
Brian, I'll second.
Brian, second the amendment. We'll now have discussion on the amendment. Is anyone for the back?
Well, can we...
This is Kim.
Can
I'd
you
like
allow... Chair, point of order, Chair.
Yeah. Benito, what's your point of order?
Can we have the amendment motivated?
Okay, we'll have it Serene, could you submit that in writing, and then we'll have Serene motivate it?
All I'm doing is deleting everything after the word requirements.
Could you still write that up and say what you just say you're deleting in the specific?
Yeah, but we need a motivation. We need
to know why.
I'm going to get to that. I just want to make sure we get it for the record what's being deleted in writing. But okay, Serene, you want to motivate that?
Yeah, the point is simply that the NES will create the actual timeline. The most important things are when the NES comes aboard and when the LESs come aboard, and to make sure that the LESs have sufficient time to be trained in what they'll be doing and to get the NES in position, because that kicks off the entire timeline, and that alone, that needs to happen at least 90 days before anything else can happen. One of the motivating factors in the committee's moving to have the LESs come aboard in February is that by that time we expect that stations would have received monies from, you know, the end of year donations and so on and so forth, and would be in a position to actually pay those salaries. That's the only way we were supposed to hire people, because we have money to pay them. So all the other dates, which are, you know, to be finalized by the NES at any rate when they provide the official calendar, need not really be voted on by the PNB tonight.
Okay, is there any objection to that amendment?
Yes, this is Kim. I'd like to be on the
staff. We'll take us back for the amendment. We got Kim. Anybody else for the amendment?
Brian.
Adriana.
Brian.
Janet K.
Okay, Kim.
I would like to amend that to delete everything after hiring the national election supervisor and let the national election supervisor give us a plan, make sure that we have vendors in place, that we know what kind of election we're going to have, and that we can pay those vendors before, and we need a budget from this NES before we hire the local election supervisors. So
okay, let me just get a. I know that's a second amendment to an amendment. Are we too far out? Can we get Brian? What's the?
But you can have two.
Yeah, yes.
That's cool.
Okay, I'm sorry, Kim. Could you finish your amendment?
Well, the amendment is to delete everything after hiring the NES, and not hire the local election supervisors. So I'm giving you my motivation, which is that we need to get a plan.
I second.
Excuse me. You're seconding? Thank you, Adriana. We need to get a plan from the NES. We need to get a plan. How are we going to do this? I know that KPFK, we have 24 that needs to be. If you're going to do paper ballots and paper sending out everything by paper, this is going to be a $400,000 election, okay? So we need to have a budget, and we need to get commitments from our vendors before we make a timeline, because we have no idea if we can even make that timeline. So it's the NES's job to make the timeline and the PNB to approve it. Thank you.
Okay.
Benito to the stack.
Brian.
And second it, we have Benito and then Brian to the stack. Benito.
Okay, well, I would like to hear the motivation for the timeline from the committee, I guess, and Janet Kay, because I don't mean no harm, but I mean I assume that the members of the finance, I mean finance, the members of the election committee are aware of everything that both Serene and Kim said, and they must. I have to assume that they took all of this stuff into account. So there must be a reason why they wanted to lay out a timeline for us. And frankly, I'm much more comfortable with a committee laying out a timeline than leaving it up to someone that we hired.
So anyway,
I'm just asking a question from the committee.
Janet Kay, you want to briefly respond to that?
I'm sorry, point of order.
Doreen, what's your point of order?
Janet Kay is not the chair of the committee. There are several members of the board who are on the elections committee. So if there's a question about the committee's intention.
I'm on the committee.
I'm referring to her. She made the motion and she motivated, and that's the one I'll get a brief. If you all want to respond, you can go on the stack. But I want to get a brief response from her because she made the motion and motivated.
Thank you.
No, she read the committee's motion. She didn't make the motion.
Okay. Janet Kay, could you brief?
Point of information?
Yes. Adriana, what's your point of information?
Are we discussing the amendment?
I'm sorry?
Are we discussing the second amendment?
We're on the stack for the third amendment. We're on the stack for the third amendment. We just heard Benito. The next person is Brian. But now we're getting with
and Adriana.
Point of information.
And Hank.
Adriana, you got a point of information again? Or what was that?
No. I want to be in the stack. I asked before on the stack.
And Lydia to the stack as well. Thank you.
And Chair, can I get a response to my question?
As well, please.
Okay, we'll get a response. Janet Kay, can you briefly respond? Benito,
Hello? Okay. I can try. Okay, so the election committee has been working for months and months and months and months on this, and there is a work timeline working group that some of us are on, including myself, and so that's how this timeline got posted. The motion came from the election committee, and the election committee gave the timeline working group the go-ahead to publish the timeline that we had come up with. And the this was a lot of work, lots and lots of work. I personally think that the NES should be, you know, I agree. I'm okay with either of the amendments, but it should be informative. Whatever the NES comes up with would probably be similar to, it should be, what this timeline lays out.
Okay. Point of information, Chair.
Who is that? Lawrence, what's your point of information?
Yeah. I'm on the committee, and I'd like to briefly respond to Benito, if that's okay.
As would Hank.
Okay, those on the committee. Okay, since this is the point of information, those who are on the committee, we'll give you 1 minute to respond to that if you can.
Okay, so just for Benito, edification, the committee, as Janet was saying, which Janet has done a lot of the heavy lifting on the timeline working group, and so has Serene. But we have been, you know, in full committee, we've let our intentions known. We've been told to go ahead and meet as a working group, meet up. We've been asked by this PMB to come up with a timeline. We've come up with a timeline. There's some amendments. I'm okay with either one of them. But, you know, I mean, that has been the work of the committee. So we've been very busy. We've been working hard at this, and we've been really cognizant of the fact that, you know, money is tight as well. Okay, thank you.
All right, next person I have on the stack was Brian.
Wait a minute. I'm on the committee. I've asked to speak about this.
All right, Hank, you got a minute too?
Okay. I might point out that this working group, I believe, is on their fourth timeline. And the delays to that are, A, fundraising, B, this board, and C, national office. It's not that anybody's intentionally delaying, as far as I can tell, but just Pacifica is a practically non-functioning entity other than putting shows on the air.
Okay.
So the work's been done. The timeline's been out there repeatedly. And, you know, it's time this body move forward and do something.
Okay, Brian, next on staff.
I'm sorry. As a member of both the committee and the timeline working group, I'd like to speak.
Okay, Serene.
We're having a separate debate here.
No, we've agreed. There was an inquiry, and they want to respond to that inquiry, and we did say we'll hear the committees for 1 minute. So we're Serene for a minute on that.
A minute?
Everybody else had a minute, Serene.
That wasn't me saying for a minute.
That was
okay,
me.
Serene, for a minute.
Okay, so Benito, in answer to your question, the committee started creating timelines, proposed timelines last May, and for one reason or another, you know, the dates that were proposed simply did not work out, in part because we didn't have money and there was so much else going on. But
could we not interrupt? Okay, Serene, could you rep?
But the intention, my concern about putting out dates, and, you know, there wasn't complete agreement on the dates. Members of the timeline disagreed on what date certain things would actually be done, and I think it would be less confusing in general to the people who are not buried in governance to actually have an official timeline put out by the National Election Supervisor when they're hired. The only difference between the two amendments and the reason why I think the one that mentions the bylaw intervals and stops there, but also includes hiring LESs in time to have them understand the work they'll be doing, but not so early that it becomes a financial burden paying people who aren't really able to do anything for 2 months. That's the only difference between the two motions. But all that other stuff about setting out a bunch of dates, that publicizing a bunch of dates that may or may not be changed, I think it's an unnecessary level of confusion to introduce into the process.
Okay. Brian?
Well, I think that the timeline the committee came up with is great and demonstrates a lot of hard work, but I think it will be useful to whoever's running this election. I don't think it belongs in the motion. I am a big fan of simple motions. The language that's in our agenda of that timeline mixes commentary and analysis with the actual timeline, with multiple paragraphs after several dates. And I think we all know that, you know, someone's actually going to have to implement this, and they're going to be up against a lot of practical considerations we can't foresee. So I congratulate the committee on its work, but I think we should pass a simple motion that authorizes the hire of an election supervisor. That's our obligation under the hiring freeze motion we passed, and that empowers that person to make the next steps and get us moving forward. So I'm a fan of both amendments. And also, we have reached our time limit for the elections report.
Okay, we're out of the 30 minutes?
No, it's 20 minutes for the elections report. There's 10 remaining on our extension.
Okay. So our time is up?
Orders of the day, Mr. Chair.
Okay, orders of the day. Our time is up. We have to vote on the amendments that are pending.